Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to Space Trash Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. I'm Molly Mulshine.
I'm Sarah Armour.
And oh my God, we have so much to talk about today.
Love a good week of drama.
There is so much stuff and it's all very like down and dirty, I would say. I think there's kind of a Scorpio vibe right now because people are being exposed. Grifters, liars, right?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. You're so smart. It's sort of like, it feels like a Scorpio vibe, but really what we're seeing is the Gemini eclipse. So Gemini is all about duality and the story, right? And the eclipse, when something is, you know, all of a sudden the dark and the light kind of switch places and there's a, right? So this was the eclipse where we even said this at the Moonual, like the other side of the story is going to come out. So there has been information that has been purposefully hidden in your own life, in celebrities' lives, in everybody's lives. There's a lot of secrets that you thought you could get away with hiding and you can't. And that's what this Gemini new moon eclipse was about. Wait a second. Right, don't make any major moves. And because Mercury is retrograde there.
Let's get into it. So I want to say we have an incredible guest coming up later, Gabrielle Alexa Noel. Definitely, even if you don't care about the other crap we're talking about, fast forward to her segment because she's freaking great. And she is a writer. She has a book called How to Live with the Internet and Not Let It Ruin Your Life. So check out that book.
She was on Red Table Talk.
And she was on friggin' Red Table
Talk. That's so freaking awesome. Yeah, that's my favorite show online.
Period. She saw Jada's lack of pores in person.
Which I have so many questions.
I know. So, okay, let's start with, this is something that is a holdover from last week. Lilibet Diana, Meghan and Harry's new daughter. The drama got even more insane after we talked. So,
yeah, so can you wait? I was trying to read up on it and I'm a little confused about who's mad, who's suing who. So what's the story?
Right. So this is very confusing. What happened was, obviously, the baby was born. So the way that the royal family gets messages across is by briefing the newspapers and tabloids. So Meghan and Harry had a bunch of their people, their sources, say to a bunch of US-based tabloids that they asked the Queen for permission and the Queen has met the baby via Zoom. So after about a few hours of Meghan and Harry saying, having all these sources roll out that they had the baby, they had asked for permission. The BBC comes out with a report and the BBC is not one to engage in mudslinging or anything unless they have a very good reason. The BBC is like the most unassailable news organization in the UK. So the BBC comes out with a report saying palace sources have told the BBC that this is not true. They did not ask for permission for the baby to be named Lilibet.
So Harry and Meghan have a baby. They name it after his mother and the Queen, but it's her nickname. So it's a real like insider name. They say, yes, the Queen gave us her blessing and she's seen the baby on Zoom. I actually did read that the first person that Harry called when the baby was born was Elizabeth.
Right, but that's the thing. The thing is, they're being very vague with their wording. The way that their sources worded it was that they said Harry requested permission to name the baby after the Queen. That is not the same thing as requesting permission to name it Lilibet.
And it also doesn't say the Queen said all good.
Right. And it said
requesting permission and saying I called you first doesn't mean you talked.
Also, it said, and if the queen had an issue with it, they wouldn't have done it. So that also doesn't say that she said yes. It just says that she sort of smiled and nodded in a very British
way. Or they didn't think it was going to be an issue. You don't think it's going to be an issue, you do it.
Right, which how could you think it's not going to be an issue? But so then, so the BBC posts the Queen's rebuttal. Next, they update their story to say that they've gotten a letter from Harry and Meghan's lawyers. They've gotten a cease and desist threatening legal action because they printed this story.
And wait, now, what is a cease and desist exactly?
It's not actual legal action. It's really just sort of one shot over the bow. It's not actually legally binding in any way, and you can send it to anyone. It's really an intimidation tactic.
It's almost like I have a PhD in philosophy. It's like, but you're not a doctor.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah, it's basically like, if you keep it up, we're going to sue you. Mm-hmm, and
okay.
The BBC basically doubled down and said, all right, try us. So the message that sends is that the BBC completely stands behind this story. Meghan and Harry have sued a lot of publications before. They successfully sued the Mail on Sunday earlier this year.
What did they sue them about earlier the year?
For breach of privacy, invasion of privacy, because they published a letter that Meghan wrote to her dad that she claimed she didn't want to be made public. So the BBC is standing by the story. Meghan and Harry are standing by their version of events. Someone's lying. And the reason why this is crazy is because they are both not backing down. Like, both sides are not backing down. And also, there was a report in the Daily Mail that the Queen is now going to keep doing this. She is going to keep on, like, rebutting the things that they put out that she doesn't consider to be true. Now, the other funny thing is all of the Sussex stands, the Meghan and Harry people, they believe in this idea that the Queen is not actually in control of what the palace sources do. And I just don't think that's true. I think she's very with it. And I think that this actually is a message from the Queen. It's not just like a bunch of people that work in the palace going rogue. So
to be clear though, the Queen's point of, so BBC is saying, the Queen didn't okay the name. The Queen hasn't met the baby.
Exactly.
And Meghan and Harry are saying, we asked the Queen, we didn't think it would bother her, and she's the first person we called.
Exactly. So who is lying?
Okay, so I have a few thoughts. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Let me ask, as the royal expert, do you have any instincts? Because I sort of have, I think actually Harry's being played by his grandmother a bit.
I think that Harry is being purposefully vague. I think their PR people are being purposefully vague, and that's all it is. They're saying wording they use. They didn't say we asked if we could name her Lilibet and the Queen said yes. They said we asked if we could name her in honor of Elizabeth and she did not say no. So
got it. Okay, so right. So it's not that anyone's lying. It's that Harry and Meg, I mean, look, let's be real, okay? She might be a little bit jaded because she's been in this business of fame and growth for so long that she's like, okay, Harry, here's how we're going to phrase it and it's not a lie. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe, but I think, yeah. And I think that they both are just coming from a place of trying really hard not to look bad. And they're not like, let's obfuscate it. They're like, crap, this didn't work out the way we wanted. We got a lot of bad press out of this. A lot of people think it's inappropriate. So we need to prove that the Queen is on board. So here's how we're going to brief the papers. And the other crazy thing about it is their PR firm is Sunshine Saks, and they represent a lot of really high up people. So the fact that now the briefings that Sunshine Saks has given to all of these American tabloids, it's turning out that that's not 100% the truth. That's actually going to reflect badly on Sunshine Saks, and it could make the tabloids be like, what the fuck, man? You told us this was true, and now the BBC is negating it, and now we look like idiots.
Well, but to be fair, to your point, he didn't say, you know, grandma saw the baby, or grandma said, yes, call her Lilibet. They said, you know, we asked if we could name her in her honor, and that was the first person I called. Both of those things could be true while the BBC's reporting that the Queen's never seen the baby and did not want her to be named Lilibet are also true. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. There's enough. But see, here's where I think there's family drama that is under the surface, okay? I think that Harry probably, and this is really like, we don't have any clue. I want everyone to know that we are literally just guessing, right? And I do have their charts up, and I Elizabeth's chart is really interesting. But I think that Harry sees his grandmother as his like one ally that's still there. Like, I think they were very close. I think he loves her, and I think they have a fairly good relationship. But I don't think that he knows her.
Right.
And so I think when he says something like, oh, we wouldn't have done it without, like, we wouldn't have done it if we knew it was going to upset the Queen. I think he has an idea of his grandmother and her level of having his back that actually he should have been already traumatized out of, like, right? Like, clearly they don't have your back, kiddo. But it's almost like, you know, when you just want to believe about your family that like, no, my mom's not an alcoholic. Like, no, yeah. I'm not, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think I have a more cynical view of it because I think that he is doing what Diana did. And I love Diana. You know, I'm the biggest Diana stan in the world.
Hi, Sty.
Yeah, but so Diana.
It doesn't work. I love it. Never mind.
Not merch.
Size, nothing. Not merch.
So Diana, in her groundbreaking interview with Martin Bashir, she went out of her way to say that she also was very fond of the Queen and has no ill will toward her, while also throwing the entire apparatus that the Queen represents and has formed since she was in her 20s under the bus. And Harry's mm-hmm. doing the same thing now. So I really do think it's sort of a cynical ploy to be like, oh, well, trust me, I love the Queen, but it's like you are shitting on everything that she has given up her life, basically, to
protect. Right, she has sacrificed everything to play this part.
Right, so it's like, how do you not see that, if unless you're truly dumb, you have to understand that those two things can't coexist. You can't have this super close, deep relationship with the Queen while also talking about how your father's upbringing inflicted generational trauma onto you. You know what I mean? Those two things don't mix. So
you think he almost was like, fine, piss them off?
I don't know.
Like, what was he doing then? What would be the point of telling untruths?
I know. I don't know. I don't think they see it as untruths. And I think that they really do see what they're doing as shining a light, which is definitely a word salad term that they love to use, on the way that the royal family actually functions. And they don't understand that the royal family will cease to function if we understand it properly.
Right.
So it's like, okay, what you're doing, it's fine if you want to do that, but you have to understand that this could undo the monarchy. Like, and it seems like that's not their goal.
Specifically, what would undo the monarchy? Like, what is he doing that would undo the monarchy?
Just talking about how messed up it is, how awful it is, and how badly they were treated while they were inside it. And it's like, all of that, I'm sure, is true. I don't doubt it. But at the same time, exposing that is literally going to cause people to vote to not have a monarchy anymore. And that's where I'm like, how can you say, which I'm not a monarchist. I wouldn't want there to be a monarchy. Let's be fully clear. I think it's insane that it still exists, as much as I enjoy staying up on the gossip and everything.
Right.
But like, if you actually support the concept and you support the Queen, you wouldn't be doing any of this.
So here's something really interesting, okay? So we did Harry's chart a few episodes ago. We know that he is a Capricorn rising.
Right, so we said in the chart he wants the money and the accolades. That is, I think, his goal. He wants to be equal to William. He doesn't want to disband the monarchy. He wants special treatment. That's what it is. So sorry.
Well, get this, okay? So he's a 11-degree Capricorn rising. And remember, the big thing with him was that his midheaven, his legacy, was exactly conjunct, exact same place as Saturn in Scorpio, okay? So this is a guy who's really very power hungry and very motivated by power, whether he's behind the scenes or not, but he really has sort of there's a struggle with it, but then it's also kind of his cross to bear, okay? I pull up Elizabeth's chart. Wouldn't you know, Capricorn rising, Scorpio midheaven conjunct Saturn, exactly the same as Harry.
Exactly. So their rising and their midheaven are exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
What does that
mean? Well, okay. And then the other thing I'll say is, like, you know, then when we look at Harry, you know, Harry is a Virgo sun with a Taurus moon. Elizabeth is a Taurus sun. So what we're seeing is, like, okay, talk about Gemini eclipse and different stories. Elizabeth and Harry are mirrors of each other. So whatever game one is playing is the same game the other one is playing.
But they seem so different.
They're not. They're not. Harry is a little bit more concerned with, like, maybe, like, health and wellness, whereas Elizabeth's more concerned with, like, sort of power and
upholding, you know, the status
quo. Like, whereas he feels like it's my job to, like, expose the power, she's like, it's my job to maintain the power. But here's the crazy thing. Elizabeth's moon is in Leo on all of Megan's sun, Mercury, North Node in her first house are in Leo. So basically the queen is facing herself, but it's like a different generation. And so I think Harry and Megan, see, I guess when I say, like, I think they're the queen's playing Harry, it's not that, it's like, I think that he really does see her good side. I do think he blames her for a lot. And I do think he wants to low-key take them down. But I think that in terms of my grandma, I think he sees a lot of himself in her. And I think that's part of what hurts so much. That he's like, I'm the son. I'm the grandson. I'm the grandson.
That's why he's pissed that William will forever outrank him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Like if he were the firstborn, he might have stayed there and married the right person, or just been like, Megan, grin and bear it. We're the bringing queen, right?
Yeah.
But because he has no Saturn, Scorpio, midheaven, it's like, these people are here to do. That's why I was like, Harry could be a politician, because it's like, this is a power seeker.
Yeah.
And so I think he tried to kind of, like, play their own game on his home, which was like, I'm going to say some benign stuff that really shouldn't be a problem, but it keeps us connected. And they're going to come back and say, no, it's not benign and it is a problem, and let's disconnect. Like, I think the palace is like, fine, be gone. I think that they are so done with Meghan and Harry. I think they're like, screw you. You guys, right. You guys don't care about the dissolution of our family's legacy. I do. So I think that, but I think Harry and the Queen, like, I think when they talk, it's probably very nice. I think do have nice conversations. And I think that she could say to Harry, oh, Harry, you know, I have nothing to do with that, even though she does.
Yeah, this is why I think I blame the royal family 100% for Meghan and Harry not staying in, because even if Harry was making demands that didn't make sense, they should have bent over backwards to fulfill those demands, because Meghan and Harry were such good PR for the family, and it's absurd that they would pull rank on them. Like, I'm sure Harry was being annoying and going above his station and trying to, like, get more shit than he technically deserves by way of birthright. But, like, let it go for a couple years. And the other issue is, like, they don't explain what they want from people. The first time Meghan ever appeared in public on an engagement with the Queen, she didn't wear a hat. And it was a huge issue. She should have worn a hat, because
everyone has to wear a hat.
Apparently, if you go out with the Queen, you should wear a hat.
Let's send Meghan a space trash bucket hat.
Oh my God. Great idea.
For the next time they're in town.
We'll send it to Montecito. So she didn't wear the hat. But the only way, reportedly, that the Queen's people let her people know that she should wear a hat was to say the Queen will be wearing a green hat. So Meghan's people were supposed to extrapolate from that, oh, this means Meghan absolutely needs to wear a hat, or else it's going to create a sensation and everyone's going to lose their shit. That's absurd. Tell her to wear the hat, you know? So, like,
but I feel like the thing about the Queen is, like, she was really, really born into this. She became the queen really young. So I think that for the queen, And I mean, even like with what Diana was doing, like Diana was great for the palace because she was like, hey, what about the people? Right.
And they were like, no.
Right. The palace was like, no. So yeah. I think that like Elizabeth is a bit delusional in terms of like how much the world actually, and it's not even about revolves around her. I actually don't think it's an ego thing. I think that she has been like brainwashed or just like programmed, like she's in the military. Like she has been programmed to protect, you know, keep a straight face and protect this monarchy like her life depends on it. And as a result, I think she's kind of lost touch with like, yeah, like she's not used to talking to people who don't know exactly what she means when she says, I'm wearing a green hat. Like yeah. Who on earth would know? Like she just doesn't even know anybody else.
Right. I think she definitely is very reluctant to adapt, which is good and bad. But at the same time, think about what Harry's public image was when he was under the thumb of the palace. Everyone loved him. Loved him.
Yeah, and, I mean, and he also like got it with, and he was like a party boy, and he was like,
and we loved it.
We loved him, right? Right.
And like we forgive
immature Harry.
People were like, oh, he didn't mean the Nazi uniform. Like that was a feat of PR to get him to be the most popular member of the royal family, even though he appeared in a Nazi uniform.
It really and, is.
And look at him.
Who his people are.
Yeah, look at him now that he's in charge of his own PR.
Whoa, right. Yeah, I think that I sort of feel like Meghan and Harry had a talk with their PR people and they're like, here's what you say so that they can't deny that it's true. We picked a name that the Queen wouldn't mind and, you know, she was the first person I called. So neither of these things are lies, but it's like, you're not, the same way that the Queen is like, I'm wearing a green hat. They're like, she was the first person I called and it was a name that, you know, she was okay with us naming it after her. It's like, dude, that's still, like, talk about
that's
twins.
Not the same thing.
They're both not saying anything. They're both not communicating, like, what they mean.
This is
two people just crossing, like, crossing space because, like, they're just not actually communicating.
Right. And I think, yeah, if they truly opened up, people would like them more, but this halfway opening up and blaming everything on the palace, like it's not doing them any favors. It's actually making them look worse. And
it's making them look, see, that's the thing though. To me, I guess that's how I was trying to get it with the Meghan thing. Like it's all a bit Hollywood. Like it's a very Hollywood way of going about things, which is to not lie.
Yeah.
But to spin it in a way that, you know, what we think we're hearing is one thing when that's not actually what we're saying. You know what I mean?
And I can't wait to see what happens next. They've been very quiet. So we'll see what happens. This Erica Jane documentary, Erica Jane and Tom Girardi, Housewife and the Hustler. I didn't watch it because I can't find it in the UK. If anyone knows where to get it, please let me know. So Sarah watched it. Sarah, what are your thoughts? My favorite thing is how her lawyers dropped her the day after the documentary came out.
Right, and so her lawyers just dropped her because they don't trust her, which I think is wild.
They said the relationship of trust and confidence that is essential to properly functioning attorney-client relationship has broken down and the relationship is irreparable. So the basically like this kind of means that her lawyers are like, we can't trust her. She's lying.
She's lying.
So for anyone who doesn't know, her husband, he was a lawyer and he was like basically stealing money from like plane crash victims and shit, allegedly.
Literally. He just like was not paying anybody any of their settlement money. So like the documentary, they show this story of a family, and actually when they were talking about Tom Girardi, they make him seem like, you know, what people thought of him before was like, he is a hero. Not only did he take celebrity cases, but he cared about the little guy. So he would take these cases that like the people couldn't even really pay for it. He would just be like, we're going to win so big that, you know, you'll get me back or whatever, right? Because it was like human interest. So there was a guy who he and his girlfriend were a part of a gas explosion. Girlfriend dies. And this guy is damaged irreparably in major, major ways. There is years-long court proceedings that is harrowing for this family. And you can hear there's like a lot of voicemails they play that like Tom at the beginning is like, I got you guys, like we're gonna win this. You know, he's so supportive. And then as the time passes and they're not getting paid, they do win the settlement, they don't get paid for a long time. Tom Girardi starts to speak to them almost as if not only are they annoying him, but he's like, look, we're as confused as you. It's like, I don't think so. You're just holding the money. Like, where's the money? They paid you the money. Where's the money? Right. So then he's like, look, we're on top of it. We got our best guys on top of it. And it's like, aren't you the best guy? And so, and then it's very manipulative, and the stuff he's kind of trying to say to them to deflect from the issue, which is simply that he's not paying his clients, or he's not paying his clients the winnings that he's earning on their behalf. Right.
So how much do you think Erica knew based on her chart?
Everything.
Oh, explain.
Okay. Well, first, do you want to guess?
Let me guess. I think she's got some Scorpio in there because it's obviously very down under and very subterranean what's been going on. I think she's got some earth signs because she clearly likes the creature comforts in life enough to steal from like widows and dead people in order to get her clothes. So that could be like, you know, maybe a maladjusted Taurus. You know, and I think she's got to have a little Gemini or Libra in there because she's very, you know, we've seen Geminis are sort of able to justify anything to themselves, and so are Libras. So did I get any of this?
Well, your thinking is very good. I think you'll be interested because Tom's chart is kind of what you just nailed, but okay, so she's a Cancer sun, which is why she, like, so as far as I understand with her, the whole thing with her is that, like, she's actually not vulnerable or forthcoming. So she's very, like, showy, like, she's a stripper, she's, like, doing bad music, she's all over it. But, like, I think it was, I think they were saying that it was only until this season when she was going through this public divorce that she cried on The Housewives. And that was like one of the big criticisms for them. Like, why isn't this woman like real at all? And it's because, yes, she is an emo Cancer, but her number one concern as a Cancer sun is protecting her family, right? So she cares, obviously she cares about money. It's her number one passion on earth. But that aside, what she cares about is protecting her son, who's a cop, and her husband, who I guess is a criminal.
Her son's a cop?
Yeah, the reason we don't know that is because she never shares it. I came across one article that mentioned that she has a cop son that we never hear about.
How old is he?
Maybe I'm wrong, but Google. Erica.
Okay, I'm Googling it.
Because she actually is holding a huge amount of actually personal stuff very close to the chest, which is why I think she's lying. Now, her moon and her Mars.
Oh my God, her son is a cop. His name is Tommy Zizzo.
Tommy Zizzo.
That's
true. You know where she got her start? Do you know where they met? Do you know where she and Tom met? At I forget the name, but it's in Lodi, a strip club in Lodi, New Jersey.
No way. So yeah. She was actually a stripper.
Straight up stripper in Lodi, and Danielle Staub was her coworker. That's how they met.
What?
Yeah. It's so funny because in the doc, they start with Danielle Staub, who's like, you know, yeah, we've met a few times. We did two Watch What Happens Together. I didn't get good vibes from her. And then like 30 minutes into the doc, she's like, well, actually, you know, Erica was doing what, like at Sparkler Strip Club in Lodi, New Jersey. And that's actually, you know, I was working there too at the time. So it's like, Danielle, how did you just waste for 30 minutes saying, oh, I met her in passing once on Bravo. Nah. You were Jersey girl strippers together. Give me a fucking break.
Okay. It's really funny that Danielle would say anyone gives her bad vibes. Like Danielle is the bad vibe vulture. Like she is a terrifying human.
Right. I mean, even they show like the shot of her like introducing her is basically like her shoes crossing her legs, like her shoes. And it's like fur. It's like fur covered shoes. It's terrifying. All of it's terrifying. Pumps that are furry. It's like, what are we doing? Okay. So.
All right. I would wear the furry pumps. I might wear the furry pumps in my wedding reception look.
I mean, I'm actually not even a hater about it, except that like, you know, lead with your stripper from New Jersey, and that's how you guys know each other then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not judgmental, and I'm tacky as hell, but it's like, I'm not, like, pretending I'm not. You know?
Also, the fact that she started as a stripper in New Jersey, and then she rose to these heights is really inspiring to me. I love that.
You know, both of them.
Well, Danielle, I think Danielle lives in, like, a studio apartment with fake bricks painted on the wall.
I was going to say, you know what's really interesting about the documentary, too? she's the only person who is interviewed who never, I had to look up who she was. She never gets like a bottom third name and title.
Wait, you haven't watched the early seasons of Real Housewives of New Jersey?
No.
Sarah.
I only watched Salt Lake just for this last month. I'll start them over if they're good. I've never watched any of them, no.
Yes, the first like 4 or 5 seasons of Jersey are some of the best television. It's the Sopranos of reality TV.
You've got to watch it. I'm in.
It is so good.
Yeah, because I didn't know who that was. And so at first I was like, oh, no one's getting titles. But then like once the doc gets started, everyone has titles.
Hey, do you know what those titles are?
What?
Called Chiron.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Well, I could make something up right now. We should Google why. But I mean, actually, if you want to think about it though, it is like the bridge connecting the audience to the tele. It's like, it's the fourth screen bridge, right? Like it's like going, hey, audience.
Oh, and Chiron is like the bridge to hell, right?
Well, just the bridge between worlds, right?
Okay. You
know, half man, half horse. So it's kind of this bridge between systems or bridge between like two spaces. And like we talk, it's, you know, it's the bridge between, you know, Uranus and, you know, Neptune. It's like there's, it's not Neptune. I was talking about it before, but it's like, it's basically like, it's like a bridge between personal planets.
Okay. So the name, when that's talking about someone's name, the lower third on a show, it's actually just the name of the company whose software allows television producers to add them. So that's boring, but
we can cut it.
Well, no, I want to leave it because that's a good fact. It's a good fact.
Yeah. Well, and also it still is though. It is still the bridge. I mean, it is still what it is. Like it's actually like bridging the worlds. It's explaining what this is to people that might not know. And it's closer, right?
So based on Erica's astrology, what is your advice to her?
Well, first let me tell you what her moon is in.
Okay.
Moon Mars. This is a trend here. Famous Uranus, Moon Mars in Aquarius. So she is a frigid bitch. Not all Aquarian moons are frigid bitches, but kind of. It is by far, you know, the moon represents our emotions and our relationship to emotions. And Aquarius is by far the most emotionally detached sign. So, mm-hmm. And it also is the sign that is concerned with like fame and like sort of public, you know, public acknowledgement. So she really cares a lot about her career and her fame and her image to the world. But what she's not sharing is that, I mean, Cancers can keep those secrets, especially to protect the people they love. So to protect her husband. Right. And I think that this relationship, I did look a little bit into it. I mean, it doesn't seem like it was particularly like, I mean, he's an old dude. This isn't like, she wasn't like, oh, my Prince Charming. She's like, perfect. Somebody to foot the bill. They met at the strip club. She's the third wife. And she's like, look, all I care about is being stupid rich. And he's like, I can take you there, baby. Right. And so when she finds out that the way that he's doing it, look, even if she didn't know the extent of how much money he was stealing, this story about the gas explosion people has been very public this whole time. There's no way that she couldn't have missed the fact that these people were like, hey, you aren't paying me. So it's like, you know, there's no way she doesn't know. I think they made an agreement at the beginning or whenever. And he said, look, I'll keep you rich, but you need to keep yourself super quiet about everything that happens in my business, and I will take care of you, and we will just focus on your bad singing career. Like, he loves her because he's like, let's just focus on this song. She's dying for a Stars Are Blind hit. Those are some of the worst songs I've ever heard. I was listening to some of them, and it's all just like, I'm rich, fuck you, I'm rich, who cares? Like, every song is about being rich. And they're not catchy. She's not that talented. She's a true showman. You know, her Mercury is in Leo, so she needs to express a lot of attention and get claps for it. But when it comes down to like what's going on for her, she is almost like distracting us from what's going on for her. And she doesn't care. She doesn't feel for the victims. She's not, unless it's her family, she's like, oh, whatever, this is business. Like, She just wants to stay rich and protect her family and her image. That's like it.
So you think she is not going to feel guilt? She is not going to atone? She's just maybe going to like do some time?
I think that she is going to be, I think that she is going to try to push forward the story that they're now trying to, this is literally the like equivalent of Chandler got surgery the day of the Friends reunion. This is that version of like some bullshit. So they're actually saying now that he has Alzheimer's and dementia, and that the reason that all this was happening is because actually he's been in process of getting a conservatorship because he cannot manage the money. Let me tell you something, either way, it's fucked up, because yeah, if he has been, you know, demented, if his brain actually was not functioning, then he shouldn't have been taking the cases or arguing in a court of law.
Right.
But now, how convenient. Oh, now they're realizing that no, he can't even manage the money. Get him a conservator. He thought he paid them. No, he didn't.
So
no,
they're continuing to obfuscate and just not, mm-hmm. That's the word of the day, obfuscate. Harry's obfuscating what happened with his kid. Tom and Erica are going to continue to obfuscate how much they knew and why. And now let's move to our next person, Huma Abedin, who is,
doesn't know, because I just Googled it, to get super clear, obfuscate, it basically just means like to keep it confusing.
Yes.
Like, did you say enough stuff that no one knows what you're saying?
Exactly. And Huma is about to be obfuscating in her book. So let's get to that. Huma Abedin, for people who don't remember, she was part of Hillary Clinton's team when Hillary was really going for it presidential-wise. She was also married to Anthony Weiner, who got caught sexting underaged people.
And famously, in the dick pic, his baby was in the picture.
Baby in the dick pic. Strange. So Huma got a book deal. It's called Both/And, A Life in Many Worlds. And it is being released on November 2nd for $30. I don't know why Page Six included that, but they did. Now, here's how much I want to hear from people in the Clinton orbit. Zero.
Right, they should just please shut up and not ruin it for all the Dems.
Yeah. Continually ruining it for everyone. We're done. We're done with Clinton world. Clinton world is over.
But you want to know something? The only reason that Clinton's emails were investigated in the first place was because of Anthony Weiner. And the only reason that Huma didn't leave Anthony Weiner when he was sexting 15-year-old girls in the first place is because Hillary's people said, it's bad for optics. We don't want to do divorce. So stay married until like it's over. So
this is what I don't get about that. Like, even the royal family, not to bring them up again, but even the royal family has accepted that divorce happens. There are so many divorces in the royal family now. Like, why can't Democrats, which are supposed to be the more progressive party, we all know they really aren't when push comes to shove, but their optics are
like new politics. I want to say this is a call on space trash. Moon party. Join the moon party. Come to the moon yule every other week and be a space trash junkie. Otherwise, right. that is the only politics we follow.
The ticket is Bernie Sanders, Marianne Williamson, or maybe reverse. It's
donation based.
Yes.
And right. No, right. Right. Bernie and Marianne are the only people that are actually, maybe AOC's got a shot, but like, yeah, you know. But what's interesting too is like Anthony was the AOC of his time. So like in 2010, he was voted the most influential politician of the decade because of the way that he used social media in 2010. Wow. Because he was using it like he was just like a regular cool guy. Like the way that AOC was doing videos of like her cooking in her kitchen while she's just talking about the issues. That's how he used it. He was a really early adapter to social media and became extremely politically influential. But then, you know, it's like what kills me, or like what everything I love will kill me, or I don't know, whatever the dramatic quote is. But it's like, yeah, man was so into social media that like he also couldn't, like he couldn't keep himself off Twitter. He couldn't keep himself off everything. That's how he became big. But then it's like he couldn't keep himself off the like private cheating app and he's Snapchatting teenagers. And it's like, dude, like, yeah, the thing that built him up also took him down. And for whatever reason, Hillary was like, we need to stay with him. He's a powerful, influential politician. People will forget. That's the thing. That's Hillary's own shit, because she's like, look, people forgive sex scandals. You wish, Hill. You wish. Like, no, babe, sorry. At least
who
Monica
has forgiven Bill Clinton? I haven't. I hate Bill Clinton. I think he's a perv and he's nasty. And I don't care how charismatic he is. It doesn't matter. And like, for no one in their camp to have learned that lesson, maybe by now they've learned it, but no, because they just had a Women's Day fucking event hosted by Bill Clinton. They still don't get it.
No.
Yes.
No. Like,
in March, International Women's Month.
It was actually just for him to meet women to hook up with.
Right. Like, we're done. He was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. We're done. We're done with this, but they still haven't gotten the memo. And like, who is going to buy Huma's book? Who is like, this is the type of politics that she, you know, sure, her personal politics might be different, but the era that she stands for, the Clinton era, is like something that people should be running from like the wind. And who's going to buy this book to read it and be like, yeah, let's stay in this era?
Where's my phone? I actually screenshotted some quotes from her because I had the same thought, which is like, what is she thinking? Okay, so she says, for most of my life, I was viewed through the lens of others, a refraction of someone else's pronoun. They, as in the parents who raised me, she, as in the woman I worked for, and he, as in the man I married. Writing a book gave me the opportunity to reflect on my own life. I have walked both with great pride and in overwhelming shame. It is a life I am, more than anything, enormously grateful for, and a story I look forward to sharing. So again, very Gemini, for this news to come out right now, Gemini, North Node eclipse, like, right, other side of the story coming out. I mean, yeah. I'm sort of curious, only because she doesn't seem like a total idiot, but she does seem like one of those people who they were like, look, you're smart, but you're brown, so we're going to have to just, like, trust us, go with the flow, go with the system. And so she allowed other people's prejudice to sort of hurt her.
Minimize herself,
exactly.
That does suck. That's so true. And, she had to sort of step to the side because she thought that was the best strategy. And it does sound like a compelling story to talk about all of this, how she was sort of a casualty of all these other people's ambitions. But at the same time, I don't think she's going to be honest about it. If she was going to be honest, I would love to read that story, but she's not going to. That's why I love Kim Kardashian as an anti-hero, because the reason I relate to Kim Kardashian is her going through like slut shaming and being demonized for all these different things. And she's honest about it.
Well, I even love what she said about her divorce. She said, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I'm going through this another time, like three divorces. But at the end of the day, I want to be happy. And so fuck what people think of me. And right, that's why.
Who else admits to being embarrassed by that? Like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who else does that? Also, I just want to say real quick, yes, March 24th, 2021, Kamala Harris and Bill Clinton held a talk about women's empowerment.
Oh, yeah.
Kamala, what the fuck? And like,
We better hope Kamala gets it together, because that bitch will be president according to astrology very soon. I don't want to get into it, but I'm not putting a hit on Biden. I'm saying that every president that was elected during a great conjunction died within their first year of office. That's all I'm saying. Astrologically, you want to tell me this isn't science? That's a hypothesis. Let's see what plays out. Okay.
Let's see what plays out. And just unrelated, but related, I will say that when Biden hung out with the Queen this past weekend, he made the Queen look like a spring chicken, and she's 20 years older than him. So,
okay. So there's a purpose for everything. She needed that so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what we need to know about Huma. And then we have to move to the next topic. In Huma's chart, tell me.
Whole chart, Leo.
Whoa, okay.
Leo Sun, Leo Moon, Leo Mercury, Leo Venus, Leo Saturn.
I never would have pegged her as a double Leo.
Well,
never,
that's why she's ever got to write this book, because she's actually been in abject hell. So she keeps making choices that people are telling her is good for her, right? They're saying, Huma, trust us. We've been in the, look, tons of women suck Bill's dick. Trust me. This is how we do it. Stay by him. We made a whole show, The Good Wife, about this, right? Like, stand by your man, okay? And I think the reason that she is compelled to write this book is because she's like, yo, I have been fully unexpressed and I have been totally swayed by the people around me so that they keep liking me and so that I keep thinking I'm going to have a moment where I am successful or in some power. But really, they kind of preyed on her as somebody who they knew. You know, the thing about Leos is you can work a Leo. If you know how to, let me tell you something. As someone who lives in overdraft, you want to know who sends me money on Venmo just because, all the time, just to help me? All the Leos. I have three Leos in my life. They're the ones, they're my lifelines. Because as long as within the community, right? Leo is also children and childhood. So as long as the Leos feel like they are getting appreciated by the people around them, in what some version it's like their parents, other version it's like, Hillary the boss, or as long as they feel like they are being acknowledged for their participation in the game, whatever the game is, they're happy. My Leos don't need me to like post that they're my lifelines, but I shower them with love and affection and thanks. And I make sure they know I'd be dead in the street without them, right? Leos just want to feel like they are seen and appreciated. And so I think that Anthony and Hillary and all the people in Huma's life have been going like, I know Huma, the public doesn't get it, but now you're in the game of politics and we're the top dogs. She's married to the best, the most organic social media politician of the decade. And then she's working for Hillary on the campaign.
Right. No, she must have thought she was killing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She thinks she's killing it, even though in her heart it probably doesn't seem right. But she's like, look, the people that I work for and that I am connected to, they need me in this way. And as a Leo, I can deliver and I will get that praise. They were praising her. If you hear Hillary talk about Huma, oh my God, Huma's my husband. Huma's the one I'm really
with. All these lesbian rumors too, which was extremely fucked up and stupid. Like,
also so funny to think about Huma and Hillary in bed together. It's
just why like, would that ever be the case? Like, they just work together. That was a nasty rumor, but not that.
Well, they're also both into the same kind of like big dick womanizer, so they really are actually like chasing anything.
Yeah. So okay, you've changed my perspective on Huma. I think that she is.
I think she does have a story to tell.
Yeah, and maybe
and now that she's actually left him and doesn't work for Hillary, now I think she can actually be honest, which I do not think she has been. And I think, understand, shame for a Leo is like really bad. Like, Leos are about pride. They're about like doing the right thing and being acknowledged for it and coming from the heart and being so generous and loving. But it's like, yeah, but if you're generous and loving with the wrong people, they will use you. And Huma got used.
All right. Well, best of luck, Huma, on your book launch.
I might even get the audiobook. I'm curious.
Yeah. All right. So now we've got our guest with us, Gabrielle Alexa Noel. Gabby, how are you?
So good. Just got my hair done. Having a great day.
And it looks...
You guys can't see her, but she looks literal fire. It is gorgeous pink, and she's wearing a pink shirt. And you look picture perfect right now. I wish this was a video.
The Little Mermaid. I love it.
Thank you. I cried, so of course I had to do a look.
Yes, it is. That is a very prideful look. Love it. Perfect.
I am proud to have someone this gorgeous on our podcast. I'll tell you that.
100%. So Gabby wrote a book called How to Live with the Internet and Not Let It Ruin Your Life.
I mean, if there has ever been a book that was necessary at this time.
I know.
On it. Gabby's on it.
I want to preface with the fact that the internet still ruins my life. Like, I have advice, but I don't always follow it.
Well, look, I'm a life coach, okay? And I live in overdraft, so I totally fucking get it.
I know. She's the best life coach ever, and she puked in her mask at dinner. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So,
and I puked in my mask when Molly and I went out. So, like, I'm your life coach. I totally am with it. It's not about perfection. It's about duality. It's Gemini season. We're a little
absolutely. Bit mm-hmm. So, who are some celebrities who might be letting the internet ruin their life at this moment, Gabby? My vote is for Chrissy Teigen.
Chrissy is getting eaten alive.
100%. I think it's weird that celebrities expect to not be, though. Like, they have so much fame. Like, there's no way that everyone is going to love you.
I love you for saying that.
I don't know what she expects, that everyone is just going to, like, she was America's, like, internet sweetheart for a couple years there, but.
Yeah, but that's what's so fucked up about America, because she was America's internet sweetheart because she was a bully. Doesn't that say it all?
Mm-hmm. I think it was because she's a model and she's slightly funny, and that blew people's minds.
We were letting her get away with, no, all the stuff that's coming out, her bully tweets and stuff, that was all public. Like, and she was she was funny sometimes, but I was always like, she's not a comedian, relax, that's my own shit, okay? But like, no, she was bullying people overtly, and we were like, oh, Chrissy, so funny, so fucking snarky. And it's like, actually, it's abusive, and we're all signing up for this, like, life of abuse. Why? Right. Why?
So, like, Gabby, no one ever talks about the fact that being famous doesn't mean everyone likes you. It just means everyone knows who you are. So mm-hmm. How did you come to this conclusion of, okay, you got to take the good with the bad when you're famous on the internet?
Because people were mean to me on the internet, so I had to get with the program. It was like, no matter what I said, even when I like presented like historical documents, someone would argue with my take on history. And that was just like, you know, I kept like looking for the fact, like the little bit of academic research that would prove that I was the correct one. But people aren't actually looking for that. They just want to hate you.
Right. So but you've always dealt so well with it, because I remember like a lot. Yeah. Like a lot of the time you always are sharing stuff on your story of shitty things people are saying to you, but you're laughing at it, which like obviously Sarah and I as comics have a huge amount of respect for that.
You never survive without being able to laugh at all the stuff that is LOL bad about us. And right.
You're never wallowing. What?
It's especially when it's religious people. I think I'll say the most people who complain about me at this point are like super, super religious, like evangelical Christians.
Almost a good sign, Gabby.
Yes.
They are the funniest people to argue with on the internet, like without a doubt, because they're taking whatever knowledge that they have of me and they're like, I'm praying for you. No one asked them to do that, like of their own volition, and they want to give me like life advice from their limited perspective on my life that they only know through the internet.
Right.
So I can't help but
just like the religious people online, just in terms of the comment section, must be the worst, because they have no problem like, you know, taking what they want out of the text and making it mean something else. Like, actually, like, Jesus seemed like a pretty loving dude. You want to know the truth? This dude seemed like the man, okay? He would be so ashamed of the way that Christianity and Catholicism have been, but Christianity mostly, have been bastardized and used to, like, exclude people and put people down and create social classes. Like, Jesus's whole thing was like, everyone welcome at the party. It's like, yo man, you're totally bastardizing the man Jay.
Yeah
No, they don't know that yet. I can't wait till they figure it out. And I think especially after I did Red Table Talk, they would like comment and be like, and I have a very young face and I acknowledge that I'm turning 29, but I look like I'm 18.
I know. I was thinking, like, whenever we worked together, I was like, okay, that was 6 years ago. So Gabby's like not 23 anymore. I was like, holy crap, that's crazy.
Yeah, so they see my face and they think I'm like a little girl to give advice to. And they're like, I just want you to know that your value is bigger than, like, don't give up on men. Like, you come back to us, to like religion, and I don't quite understand why they think I'm young enough that I need advice. Sometimes it's young people.
Or also that men, I mean, if there is, I want to say, there has never been a worse decade for men.
And there's not enough men. Why we should be praising anyone who's given, not that you haven't even given up on men, but like, even if you had, we would praise you for that. Because like,
we've spoken on this podcast about Tom Girardi that took his wife down. We talked about Huma and Wiener. He took her down. We got Hillary and Bill. He took her down. Why are we saying don't give up on men? The men are fucking with our social media presences in every way.
And our money. So the thing that kills me also about Chrissy that really I consider to be the most hypocritical thing about her is the way that she plays, like in the months leading up to this, she's played the victim so many times. And she has gone out of her way to talk about people cyberbullying her and being mean to her. And that is what kills me, because I'm like, you literally tell people to kill themselves. Another, she released another apology on Medium, which was called Hi Again.
What did you think?
It's like, literally, she's the most desperate person to, all she wants is to tweet again. And it's like, Chrissy, go dive into a pool of money.
Oh my God. Like,
why are you worried about this?
She's trying to do a Louis C.K. comeback to the stage, but instead of a set and instead of a stage, she just wants to tweet freely.
Right. But the thing is, she didn't mention anyone by name. She's still never apologized for calling Quvenzhané Wallace cocky and writing nasty things about her when she was 9.
A child. Wait, and tell Gabby about the cookbook.
The Alison Roman thing. I'm sure she knows.
No, the urine thing.
Oh yeah, she said in one of her cookbooks that she made this comment in one of her cookbooks, like, such and such thing sounds weird, and I think it sounds like it would smell the way Courtney Stodden's urine smells. She put that in her cookbook.
No, that's why they pulled the cookbook, correct?
Probably, I guess.
But so this bitch is prioritizing hating on teenagers and young girls over, like, actual recipes.
We figured out the reason why. The reason is because she's jealous that, like, Courtney Stodden, I mean, obviously this is all me speculating. She's jealous that, like, some people got successful and got rich earlier in life than she did. That's the main defining factor of all the people that she's bullied. But so then people are mad that she didn't name names in her apology. So Gabby, she's clearly flailing. The internet is clearly ruining her life. What is your advice for her?
What should we have you tell Chrissy?
Yeah.
I mean, especially as someone with a platform, like, no one is owed a platform. I think she should make, like, a little, like, private Finsta, a private Twitter, I don't know, and just, like, chill out, like, just with her friends and be normal. No one is guaranteed to be able to tweet to their entire audience at all times. And I think that, like, when you have had a habit of harming people on your platform, then you especially need to take some time away. But you can still tweet, just not to, like, millions of people.
I want to say, as somebody with, like, you know, a couple of Finstas and no platform.
She has 30 Finstas and she uses them all for evil.
Well, and to like all of our posts. I want to say stalking and liking my own shit. But I just have, I've never felt so, I guess I felt a lot of shame about my level of Finsta Twinstas. And I think for that to be the advice you give, I feel very high end. Yeah, follow my lead, Chris. Why don't you leave a few things anonymous and just get it out?
It's even freer. If you want to be mean, you can just go on your other account and then no one sees it. But also, like, if I was as famous as Chrissy Teigen, I would have just regularly deleted tweets. Like, people always find old tweets, and there are so many apps now that let you just go delete all of them. Just go delete whatever you don't agree with.
Let's make, does that merch, delete the tweet?
Oh yeah, that's probably good. That's good merch.
Rhyming, I think, is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I literally, like, as soon as I was about to hit maybe 5K on Twitter or like 10K on Instagram, I just, like, went back through my old posts. It really doesn't even take that long.
Yes.
If you're on Twitter, like, look up your name and, like, I don't know, anything that you said in elementary school. I had Twitter in high school. So I was like, let me just make sure I didn't say anything crazy. And it's only because those are no longer your beliefs. I mean, I know I have some, like, white friends who are like, I'm so sorry, Gabby. I used the N-word when I was 8 and I had a Twitter. And I was like, you didn't even have to tell me, because I don't care.
Also, but so funny to think about an an 8-year-old tweeting with the N. It's just like, where are we from? What is going on? That the 8-year-olds are like, what's up, N? I can't even. That's comedy to me.
I just assume their parents were really like did a number on them. That has to be the regurgitation of something.
Right, you're actually just outing your parents if you're 8 and you're tweeting the N-word. We actually know too much and it's not about you, kid.
Do you agree, Gabby, that it's unhealthy to wallow over the negativity on Twitter?
I mean, just with celebrities, there is a certain extent to which they need to be accountable, or I hope that they could be accountable to their community. So I think that I'm glad that she at least took a step back to acknowledge that she said something messed up.
Well, except that she sort of like took a step back and then was like, I can't stop. You're my only real friends.
Yeah.
We are not her friends.
No, we are not.
Whenever someone is overly nice to me online, it feels weird. Like that's a strange parasocial relationship that they're building with me. And I went to a party this weekend and at first like people were like, oh, hey, I follow you. And then by the end of the party, this girl was like drunk and was like, you're just doing so much for the community. And I was like, girl, like this is not a mutual relationship that we've developed. This is just your idea of who I am. And it's completely different from who I actually could be in real life. And now you're making the party weird.
That's how I feel. I'm a life coach, LOL. And when my clients like want to be my friend and like, guys, I'm down to chill. I'm fine. I'm cool. But it's like, I always want to be like, okay, but like, not only do I not follow my own advice. Okay. But you might be surprised. You might be surprised. Like I would rather just keep the boundary, the professional boundary up. Because LOL.
Yeah, separate church and state for sure.
Right. We're not always doing our work every day, okay? You gotta let loose sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you skip the morning pages and everything goes off the rails.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have an excuse if you're my client because you're paying me to say that.
So just from that perspective, I don't understand why she thinks that those people are her friends. That's weird. People who genuinely believe their followers are their friends are weird.
Yeah.
Well, I think Chrissy's weird. I mean, I think the biggest crazy thing to me about Chrissy is that wouldn't she love her last name to just be Legend? Doesn't she just want so bad to be known as like Legend?
I know. I wonder why. Well, also his name's not even Legend.
I know, but like, I just feel like the baby's name steal it too. That's like so the brand she wants to be.
Yeah, the baby's names aren't even Legend. They all have different, it's like Johnson or something. But
thank God, let them fucking blend in and not know that their parents are the worst.
I know, but the thing is, they're not going to blend in because they're in so much of their content now.
They're going to be making fun of Miles' little helmet until the day he dies.
When I was...
John Legend's last name is Stevens.
Stevens. Her name is Luna Stevens. That's the baby's name, and Miles Stevens.
They should have kept those kids offline to save their lives.
Yeah, but they didn't, and they're in every ad with them. Like, there's like these are things that like child labor laws should be invoked for. Like Chloe having her baby in the friggin' migraine ad that I saw 9,000 times when I was home. I was like, is True getting a cut of this?
No, you better hope True is getting residuals. No, let's say you were to hear on Space Trash first. We are not lawyers, but we will meet some. And we will make it our job to make sure that baby True and little baby Miles in his, little baby Miles in his helmet will actually see revenue from this exploitation.
Yes. So Gabby, what's your advice for like normal people who are being driven nuts by social media? Like those of us who are like still sub 2,000 Instagram followers, not naming names myself.
Just both of us, basically. We failed at everything. So we're really glad you're here. Thanks for liking us.
I think the biggest lesson that I learned is to mute on Twitter anyone who's not following you. I was arguing with strangers, and then when I pressed mute, I was like, wow, I can't even see what they're saying. It's so peaceful, so relaxing. I wish there was a similar option for Instagram, but like now that Reels is popular, it doesn't feel like it
would. I wish there was a similar option in IRL.
Yeah.
That too.
I wish there was like, mute. Yeah, you're my family member, but mute.
Sometimes,
especially with the Reels, when I post Reels, like that's when the most strangers appear and they'll like argue. And then I see my followers like arguing on my behalf. I'm like, now you're bringing me into the conversation because I wasn't even going to see. And now you added me and now I see.
This is like the cafeteria fights that we tried to avoid like in middle school.
Yeah. Whenever I see a comment, like especially on TikTok, I do a lot of like trolling of British people on TikTok because they just fall for it hook, line, and sinker every day.
Get them all. Get them.
I just can't not do it. So then they start yelling at me about how all Americans are like stupid and everything. But every time I'm like, okay, no, Gabby, you don't understand how stupid a lot of British people are until you
actually, we're the evolution. That's where we began. They must be even more backwards.
We're the enterprising ones that left and we were like, there's got to be something better. But this is the thing. Everyone's stupid. Every country is so fucking stupid. And like, but British people, it's like a national pastime to shit on America without looking at their own issues. Like,
yeah, but that's like exactly why, like, right. We also shit on our ex-boyfriends that dump us, but it's like, you know what? He dumped you for a reason.
Right. But so the thing that I always picture on TikTok whenever people are saying really nasty things in my comments is I'm like, this is a 12-year-old. Like, I'm just going to assume this person's 12 and they're bored and they don't know what they're doing. Cause they very well could be, you know, like I just imagine it as being like, because in real life at a party, I get in a lot of arguments at parties, like just debates, you know?
I never think of you as such a controversial figure, Ma. I think you're so likable.
Thank you. I am a little bit of a troll sometimes. Not like
Pisces rising. Pisces is the troll of the zodiac.
Yeah, I'm not telling people to take a dirt nap or anything, but like I will get
anymore.
I will get in like a debate at a party, and like, but if it's a person who, like, if I do a spot at a show, like one time this guy came up to me like last year after I did a spot, and he was like, "Hey, so you said this, but maybe you should have said this," and I was like, okay, so you've got a greasy low ponytail. No one's hanging out with you. You're trying to buy drinks for people and they're walking away. I'm just not going to engage with your comedy advice for me. So like, that's what I have to think, like on TikTok or on Twitter or anywhere. Like if someone came up to me at a party, would we be having this argument? Chances are no. We would either find common ground or I would literally not even respect them enough to respond.
Or we'd like throw music on and just be like, let's dance party this out, bros. I can't even hear you. I can't even hear you.
Yeah.
I will say that it very often is just a 12-year-old, and running into 12-year-olds, like that really taught me to just not even argue. But I will say I can't help but argue with evangelicals just in a funny way because they're so funny. Like they're giving advice from a certain context that not everyone shares. Like not everyone is Christian or allies themselves with that like sect of
Christian. Well, and fundamental Christian. I did a documentary that it ended up blowing up my face in 2017, but I broke into a Christian fundamentalist church. Like I went undercover, LOL, I have the footage, it's wild. I'm very interested in the evangelical Christians only because it's like, honestly, like, are you guys okay? Like they are so—
They're not okay.
No. They're not like regular Christians.
They're living in fear. Anyone who's becoming that fundamental with any religion, it's coming from a place of fear. It's like, I'm
like relegating women to having like 19 children and then televising it. It's like, what's going on?
It's like, I'm terrified of the world and this framework is the only thing that's going to help me survive. But so Gabby, what's like a common misconception that people think is helping them not make the internet ruin their life, but it actually is making it even worse? Does that make sense?
Great question.
Can you rephrase that question?
Okay.
I got it.
What's a common misconception about how not to let the internet ruin your life? Like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to go on a social media cleanse, like, but maybe that's not actually helping. What's like a common misconception?
I think people who take a social media cleanse and think, oh, I'm just going to cold turkey do it. Like that's really hard. Especially, you know, the internet is an addiction in many ways. So to just cut yourself off cold turkey and think you're going to stay away for X amount of time, that's really difficult and most people fail at it.
It's really like going on a diet.
Yeah.
You can go on the diet for a minute, but the minute you get off, you're eating like 30 cookies and you're going to be tweeting to hell.
Right. So I would say like maybe try like leaving your phone in another room before you go to sleep. And then when you wake up, you now have to like physically get up and go to another room to get your phone. That already cuts down so much screen time. Like, start whittling your screen time down first. You're not going to go from like phone from morning to night to like zero to cold.
My therapist said the same thing, Gabby.
Wait, really? I need to get a therapist.
I can connect you to that. I got all the therapists. I'm a mental health professional. LL.
I can't find a good therapist. Okay, I think it's because I'm Irish. And
I will keep up with therapists. I got
Freud said Irish people are the only people on the planet impervious to therapy. Because we're so impressed.
Specific therapist. Like I want a like LGBTQ+ friendly therapist. hopefully a therapist of color. And I found like polyamorous specific therapist, and now I can't go back. Like, I really want that, but it's so hard to find like an E&M specific therapist that my insurance also covers. And I don't think United is not like an obscure insurance, but
that's the thing about therapy. It's too hard to figure it out. And I'm like, I need therapy to like cope with my ADHD insanity, but I literally can't sit still long enough to figure it out. But on the polyamory.
Let me later though. I have a friend, gorgeous black woman from Texas, who's actually also, she's a therapist and entrepreneur. And she is the perfect person for both. I will connect you to B.
Does she take United?
Well, she might actually figure out how to like fold you into the business plan, and then she'll work with you for free. We'll figure it out. We're masterminds here. I'm a Capricorn moon. Okay.
We're going to manifest.
I know a lot of people in the therapy world, and I honestly am so sick of white people. I like Molly. I got a few white friends left. Okay. But I have some ideas for you.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. On the polyamory topic, we mentioned you on this podcast already because of when you were on Red Table Talk.
Abby, do you understand? That is like, I love when Molly told me that was you on the polyamory episode, which you talked about either way, and that she knew you. I was like, I felt like we know a celebrity. I tweeted, I posted some, I was like tagging you and shit for a while too. And I was like, this bitch has no idea who I am.
Like other folder, but I don't go in my other folder that much because that's where the creeps hide.
So that's where the crazy people are.
You know what? I'm a creep. Keep me in the folder with the creeps.
What was it like?
There's a man in my other folder who I think he thinks we're in a relationship. I have no idea. I've never responded, but he's always like, hello, beautiful. I miss you.
What do you mean?
I don't know what's going on in there.
Sweetie. That's a sweetie. Is he like, I will sell my family's property to get a fortune? I've seen all people get those kind of DMs and it's so funny.
You're like, okay, my wish list is $200 once a week to pay a therapist that's on my level.
So what was it like on Red Table Talk? How did it come about? And what were the women like in real life? Like, does Jada have pores? We need to know everything you can tell us without breaking the NDA.
Sure. Number one, no, Jada does not have pores. I know I can say that. Like,
oh, she's incredible.
Just like, that's crazy. They have a beautiful home. I can't even imagine having like the wealth to have a home that beautiful. Like,
wait, oh, it's God. In their house?
Yeah. Oh, it's filmed at their house.
It's just an idiot.
Red table. They're meeting for a family meeting. That's the whole premise of the show. It's like, we got to bring it to the table and talk. That's how they deal with family issues. And so then they were like, this is actually like kind of what America needs. And they were right. I love them.
It's just their house, but a really like well-decorated house. I was sitting awkwardly in a chair, like waiting for my call time. And I was like, how do they sit in these? They're just like really beautiful furniture everywhere. Like the lighting is beautiful. You could tell someone like really would like thoughtfully put together that home, but it's not like a home in the way that I look at like my home. Like, it's not like, oh, me and my mom cuddling on the couch type home. It's a very beautiful home. And what I was really surprised to find is that they're just a family. Like, they have like arguments and like, you know, they interact with each other the way I would interact with my mom or my dad. But I don't know why in my head they were on like such a pedestal. And then I'm like seeing them kind of like have their little like family squabbles. I'm like, wow, like they're just people.
No, that's why the show is so healing though. Because Adrian, like grandma doesn't agree with Willow a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's a good show.
And she's so honest about it.
It feels like a family.
They're so genuine. And like, if they never did this show, like I had it in my head, you know, of course, there were rumors that Will and Jada were involved with Scientology. You know, they have such an absurd amount of money. They're sort of setting their kids up for these like Hollywood careers. I had it in my head. They must be the most untouchable, like not normal family in the world. And then like you watch 3 minutes of that show and you're just like, oh my God, they're so cool and like normal.
They're so cool.
Yeah. I was like, they kept kind of, at one point they were like talking over each other and they had to be like, okay, like Willow, stop talking. And like, that's just like a fight that I would have in my family. And I was like, wow, they're just normal people.
Yeah. So cool.
Brought me down to earth.
Well, like I never understood too, like the Jada Tupac thing. I was always like, really, Jada? Because like her acting career is not that good. I want to say I'm a Jada stan now, but like she hasn't had like, I mean, does she want to, not that it even matters, but I just feel like, Jada has always been an anomaly to me because I'm like, why is she so popular?
Girls Trip. Because she's so beautiful and charismatic. That's literally it. She's just got it. Like,
no, but when you see her on Red Table Talk, when you see her on Red Table Talk, and then did you see the episode where Willow, on the Mother's Day episode where Willow sang, I didn't even know that Jada was a rock star.
I didn't know that either. That was a surprise to me too.
That was on Golden Days of Perez Hilton. He would always talk about her band in a non-snarky way, I think.
No, now I get it, though. I'm like, oh, she is that girl. Like, she actually is on their level. She is on Tupac's level. She is on Will's level. Like, she really is that talented, that cool. She had her dalliance, or whatever they called it, was with a 27-year-old. She rocks. If she is not goals, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's living life exactly the way she wants to, and it's incredible. Let's talk about
that day that they eat, like, you know, really healthy. It seems like their whole lifestyle is like all natural stuff.
What do they eat?
Well, so just like the food that we were offered was all like healthy food, and the water and the snacks, like everything was healthy. Like, I thought I was coming to a dressing room to eat like garbage.
Doritos and craft services shit.
No garbage available. It was like all like whole grain snacks and like just waters, nothing but. And then she sent me home with two all natural deodorants and two all natural toothpaste and two all natural like shampoos. I was like, okay, the deodorant's nice, but you know, all natural deodorant's just not my bag.
No, it honestly makes me smell worse. I have a real problem. I actually think that that's like a racket, and we'll talk about that later. But I actually think all natural deodorant is a racket. I think they're scamming us.
It works on me, not to
it
brag.
It does.
It works on me for like, what, 2 hours, and then I have to reapply. So what's the point?
Well, they say that if you have a certain type of earwax, that means that you don't have BO. Like, if you have crumbly earwax, that means that your body processes like toxins and germs and whatever in a way that makes you not have BO. So I have like crumbly earwax.
Wow, what a flex. All right.
Flex and a half. Yeah, okay, well, Gabby and I, we're over here smelling like BO lavender, but it's natural. And so fuck off, Molly, because we are in our stank. I want to sell my BO as a candle like Kravis and Gwyneth's pussy. I honestly like the smell of my own BO, and that's why I don't want the pandemic to end.
Oh, you can keep stinking. Come to Europe. No one wears deodorant here. These guys that I'm doing this comedy album with, we were doing like pitches for stuff yesterday. And I was like, let's do a sketch about how men in Europe don't wear deodorant. And they were like, no, that's the most hack thing ever. Like, everyone was talking about that in the 80s. And I was like, well, they're still not wearing it. Right. They're still not wearing it.
Joke.
And they don't have air conditioning on the tube here on the subway, because British people are always like, we don't need air conditioning. And I'm like, you stink. You need it. Like, you need air conditioning if you're going to fucking stink like this. Like,
more
if
it's and more, I think I'd fit right in there.
Yeah, you probably would.
No AC on the train? I wouldn't go on the train.
I know, it's crazy. What did Jada smell like?
I was really self-conscious that I smelled, so I was kind of staying away. I'm going to be honest.
No, like, they were honestly like, this bitch smells like Dove. We have got to help her.
I had like applied and reapplied, and then I just kept envisioning that somehow like I still smelled. So I sprayed, like I probably smelled like nothing but perfume, and I was still like, let me get two sprays in before I go out. Like I was freaking out.
That's why they gave you all the natural stuff. They were like, this bitch is too clean.
They were like, wow, she literally smells like the department store. She needs us. All the boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever's in the world, but please. Enough with the chemical products.
Yeah, my fault. I was like, I hope she didn't mean that. I thought it was like a fulfilling prophecy. Like, she was like, you did smell, but she didn't.
No, you smelled too good. Because also the thing is, rich people, like, smells come from the inside out. So like, they're probably eating such healthy food and living such healthy lives that they don't smell. And that's why they probably get a deep cleaning from the dentist like once a month and have veneers. So they're like, yeah, we can use the fucking like charcoal bullshit toothpaste because.
Wait, what are they going to smell like?
Yeah.
Like so brown rice, please.
Are there any polyamorous celebs? Because this is your other expertise, is polyamory. That's why you went on Red Table Talk. Are there any polyamorous celebs? I know Tilda Swinton had a little thruple going on. Is there any?
No, I love Tilda in his thruple. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I don't actually know who that is, but I do know there was like that the internet went crazy because Tessa Thompson, Taika Waititi, and
covered on the pod. We loved it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That gave me life. I hope they weren't just like trolling. I hope that was like something real. I know Ezra Miller, he plays like the not the Flash on TV, the Flash for the movies.
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yes, that is the more famous movie that he's from. And I know like Gabby Dunn, she's like the bisexual author and like YouTubers, also polyamorous. There's like, I feel like I know a lot of people in internet communities, but not people who like are just known.
Do you know who was historically poly? Princess Margaret and Anthony Armstrong Jones, the Queen's sister and her husband. He was bisexual. When she first started dating him, he was dating a couple, a straight couple. He was their third. And then they got together. Margaret and Anthony Armstrong Jones got together. They became these like bohemian royals. They were friends with Mick Jagger and the Beatles, and they were always like doing drugs. And when their marriage started to deteriorate, what they would do is Margaret would go out and cheat on him with his friend, his male friend, come
He's
home.
Not cheating.
And,
she was just like, because in polyamory, that's not really cheating.
Well,
right?
It's like, this is the thing. It was I'm back in my other man. It was back in the 60s. So the word polyamory, I don't think was even mainstream enough for them to have the conversations. They were doing it, like they started out.
Swingers, baby.
Yes, they started, swingers. Like they started out sort of bohemian and whatever goes, goes. Later on, like I said, when it started to fall apart, they would use it as a cudgel to like get one over on each other. So Margaret would come home and say, oh, I banged your friend Steve. And he'd be like, oh, really? I fucked him last week. And she would be like, God damn it.
God.
So that's a historic polyamorous couple that didn't occur to me until just now. But they
were no wonder they were the most favorite. When we were watching The Crown, we're like, Margaret seems like the only cool one. Now we know why.
Yeah.
How do you guys have the attention span to sit through The Crown?
I don't, Gabby. I agree with you. It's so boring.
I fast forward to the Diana years. I just wanted to know the Diana story.
And here's the other thing. The Crown, like, it's so funny to me. I always say this on the royal show that I co-host for Us Weekly. I always say the royal family should be thanking the Crown for making them look so much better than they really are.
So much prettier than they are.
And like, they act like it's making the royal family look bad. Like, no, if you want to know the real tea on the royals, read the book, The Royals by Kitty Kelly. Like that's and it's not boring because it's actually about how like kind of shitty they are.
Do you think there's going to be like a Markle season of Crown? Because that would be interesting. Let's show us the overt racism and how we put her down and how she got suicidal. Like, do you think that that's a season that should be exposed?
I would watch that, honestly.
I would watch.
Yeah. I can't wait for Megan's tell-all. Like, there will be a tell-all memoir. Like, it's going to be after the queen passes. It's going to be after Charles has fully cut them off, because I think he already has. And, like, he is like, they're going to be scorched. They're going to go scorched earth. This isn't even scorched earth yet. Like, this is scorched earth, and it's going to go scorched earth. It's too scorched to earth.
I wonder if Charles talked to Margaret and was like, I love Camilla. And she was like, everybody has two girlfriends, baby. Like, maybe that's part of why he could keep it going for so long. Because he actually did have an example of someone who was more than one person.
His uncle, who was his like role model, said that to him. He just was like, sow your wild oats and then like get married to whoever, and then you can kind of do what you want. They all did that. They're all fucking it's terrible.
I mean, I will say the way that they're doing it is very unethical, and that maybe if they embraced some ethical non-monogamy, they'd feel a little bit better. It seems like it's a weird like vengeful thing.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So this is what Sarah and I always get onto, because Sarah is in usually a constant flux of like having like 1 to 3 boyfriends.
I think I'm polyamorous.
Well, but 1 to 3 boyfriends does seem like that.
But it's not because I'm like, I'm a free bird, baby. It's because usually I'm with someone, they break up with me, I don't accept it. In the meantime, I find another boyfriend, they always come back, and then I find myself with 2 boyfriends. And then they're both, one has already blown it, so I'm not really going to take him back. The other was always kind of my side piece. And this, I thought it was just kind of where I'm at right now. But then my high school girlfriends, I went out with them, and they're like, Sarah, you always have had 2 boyfriends. And I'm like, oh. So here's my question to you.
Tilda Swinton in this bitch.
Well, I also think I'm Tilda in a lot of ways. We'll get to those jokes later. But It's like, am I the most secure woman on earth and I'm polyamorous, or am I the most insecure woman on earth and I'm desperate? What do you think?
Well, I don't think you're desperate. I think polyamory just shows your capacity to love two people. So if you are more than two, even. So if you already have that in you, then great. The only real difference, I think, is like your willingness to participate ethically is what differentiates someone from being like polyamorous or just like accidentally.
I mean, look, I'm out here talking about, if either of them listen to the pod, they know that I have two boyfriends.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're okay with, you know, the potential of them also dating other people and you're willing to communicate with them about the level at which you're dating, then that's all you need to feel.
No, I think I'm polyamorous, you guys. Because, like, right, I get mad at them because I'm like, tell me the sordid details of the last person you fucked. And they're like, Sarah, why do you do this? Like, why do you always? And I'm like, because I think it's hot. Like, there's, I'm actually not jealous of them.
When I was dating people monogamously, I used to ask that all the time. And they'd always be like, oh, I don't want to ever hear about anyone you dated before. I think that's crazy.
That's like, crazy. What's hotter?
My growth is a result of my relationships. And you don't want to hear about anyone who came before you. That's weird.
Why is cuckold porn so big?
Wait,
cuckold porn is the biggest category because everyone wants to see their wife get fucked.
Yeah, so number one, I'm a cuck queen. Okay.
We had a break where we determined Sarah's a cuck queen. She is either poly. She is at most poly, at least has a cuckolding fetish.
Or at least like just a large capacity to be cheated on and hang in there. And I make it work, okay?
Gabby, this was so great. Thank you so much for doing this.
Gabby for president, dude. Jada doesn't just pick anybody, okay? Tupac, Will, and Gabby.
Everyone follow Gabby at GabAlexa, Instagram, and Twitter. Too. Gabby, thank you so much. This was great.
Gabby, what's your book called?
What? Oh, How to Live with the Internet and Not Let It Run Your Life.
Buy it. We are all fucked. But Gabby will make sure that all of us get fucked in the right way. So this is your work.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.